Well, good morning. It is good to be here, and I just wanted to send greetings from Lancaster City. As you know, you probably hear of Grace and Truth Church and Grace and Truth Welsh Mountain. Maybe it gets a little confusing, but we're part of the church in Lancaster City. We live about 5 miles from there in Bird in Hand, so it's good to be here and to worship with you and spend some time here this weekend. It felt after the youth meetings, I know that some of our children had made new friends, and it just felt like, you know what, we want to come out here. And it's been a while, it's been a couple years ago we were here at church over the time Keith and Linda's wedding, we were here, and but it just felt like we would want to come back to Ohio, so appreciate you allowing us to come and spend some time with some of your church members, and it was just been really good so far. So if you want to turn your Bibles, you can turn it to Jonah chapter 1. And I just wanted to look at that a little bit and talk about that. It's kind of what's on my heart this morning. The title of the message is Spiritual Authority in Christ, and I guess we're starting in Jonah, but I'll get to that a little later. So we're going to read a little bit out of Jonah, and 1 through chapter 1, 1 through 5. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it, and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Let's pray before we go, Father. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the very thought that you have given us your word that we can look to, learn from, and most of all, get to know you through your word. And so we thank you for that. I ask this morning that your Holy Spirit would reveal to each of us what is needed in each of our hearts as we look at your word this morning. Father, I stand here realizing that my notes and my thoughts don't go very far without your Holy Spirit, and I ask for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah was a prophet. And the question I have for you this morning, what qualifies a person to be a prophet? What would qualify a person to be a prophet? What do you think? Who qualifies a person, and it's God, right? Nothing else would qualify a person to be a prophet of the Lord other than God himself, correct? Can we agree with that? That there's somebody qualifies another person to be a prophet, and it's God Almighty. You know, we probably all hear and heard this said, but this saying, you know, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called, right? You've heard that. Well, I think Jonah was a man like that. I doubt if he felt qualified. And we can see in part of in his life how he walked through some of this after he was a man called by God. But a prophet, like Jonah, was a man that the Lord put his hand on and sent him out on a mission. When God calls you to something, He already has a plan for you. And so when we think of God Almighty putting His hand on a person, maybe you, maybe somebody else that you see, but God already has a plan and a purpose for the reason that He called you in the first place. We don't see it most times at the time, maybe, but we do believe that's how God works. And here we see the story of Jonah being the hand of God, I mean, was on him. We can believe that if he was a prophet, if he was a man of God. And when I just want you to think about this, when there's going to be some thoughts how this, that would line up with us being called by God as just as a believer. I don't want to say just as a believer, but as a believer, we're called for a plan and a purpose. So Jonah was in that, I'd like to say, in being called by God, he was in a position that was perfect, you might say. Do you follow what I mean? God had his hand on him, and it was a place of maybe purity, perfect. It was a high calling is what I'm trying to get to. It was all he needed because God called him. Do you follow what I'm saying? It was a position and it's a place. So I just want you to think of that. But how did Jonah do? How did he fare? You know, some time ago, I studied through the book of Jonah, and it's quite a story, really. I had to wrestle through it, and I never really even preached out of it at church. I looked at it, and you kind of closed it, and I was like, what does this even mean? I did get to share it in some thoughts somewhere else already, but for some reason, I just felt like I needed to share this morning. But it's hard when I like kind of expository type preaching to really dig into what's it mean. And I really struggled with some of the depth of what this book really is all about. And so this morning I have more, maybe some illustrations and teachings out of it, just a few parts of it. But here we have a man, I just want us to really get this picture, that is called by God. But Jonah had a dilemma, and I feel for this dilemma, and I want to just touch on this a little bit. I won't get into it real deep, but if we think about him being called by God to go to Nineveh, to ask them to repent, his dilemma was, what if they do repent, but what if they change their mind, or what happens if they would eventually come back and, you know, they would change for a time? But what if they change their mind, they're going to come back and get God's people? That's kind of what I get at the heart of out of some of it. What if they come back later? And so he left his natural thoughts come in, and that's part of his rebellion or his disobedience, you could say. But so I do get this. I can feel for him in a sense. We can relate. And again, not going into it, I don't feel like I even have enough of that to share, but like I think there was the fear that he would come back. The people would come back and take God's people. Isn't that right? Some of you probably studied this, that he would come back. And I'm not even sure exactly all the history. There's some interesting history then what happened later on, but I'm not getting into that necessarily. But if they listen to my message, he might think that they would be okay for a while, but come back, and then we're... My people, my family, we have a real problem anyway, so why don't I just, you know, I'll make it easy, and I'm getting out of here, and then God will destroy them, as he said, and that would be better for my people. But he's thinking in the natural, but he would think it'd be better if he just wiped them out in the natural. That was a better thought. I'll take it into my own hands. I will not go. But this is pride. Anytime that we see that God, you know, God puts his hand on us, God put his hand on Jonah, but he says, I'll take it into my own hands to keep his family safe, things like that. But it was pride. It was pride. So Again, I just want to establish this. Jonah was given a charge, a word, an assignment. Jonah was placed in a position of authority. I want to use that word this morning, some authority, to do the work of the Lord. So he was given and passed, authority was passed to him. He had the authority. And we're talking this morning about spiritual authority. This is what I want to talk about this morning. Jonah had the authority to do the work of the Lord. All Jonah needed to do was obey, right? And to walk it out. He had the authority. He was a man of God. He had been given, God put his hand on him. He had the authority. He could walk and obey. But he, in his disobedience, he stepped down from his authority. I want us to think about that a little bit. Now, if you want to go back to your Bibles, we read that, but I want to talk about this a little bit. Is what was his first step when he stepped out of his authority? It says in verse 3, he fled and he went down to Joppa. He went down. You ever think about how many times it says down in the book of Jonah? He went down to Joppa. He found a ship. He paid the fare and he went down into it. So really, he went down to the docks. He went down to the ship. He took one step out of his authority, but he had the full authority as a man of God, and he stepped down. He went to Joppa. He went down to the ship. What else does it say? He went down into it. And then in verses 5, it says, but Jonah had gone down into the lower parts of the ship, and what else did he do? He laid down. Now think about this. A man of God, just needing to walk, we don't know what it looks like. It looks impossible to him. God just asks him to be obedient. You know, oftentimes the book of Jonah, there's children's stories. There's probably as many children's stories in the book of Jonah, and it's kind of this cool little story. But believe me, it was anything but cool, you could say. This was a here he's a man of God, and he's not happy, right? This is probably, when we think of being a prophet, he's not happy, he's not pleased. In fact, he was an angry prophet, and he wanted to die. It says in Jonah 4, 1-3, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? And this was his dilemma. When I was still in my country, therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. This is after God saves the people, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He was concerned that the people were saved. That was his problem. That was his dilemma. But is that what happens to us when we're given an assignment? We have the call of God on our lives. I want to say this. We're talking about Jonah as a prophet. But what about sometimes just simply us in our own home or whatever position of authority that we have? Whatever that is, I want us to kind of think of that as we go through here. Jonah was appointed by God. He was in a position of authority that was given by God. He was in a position of authority. And what did he do? He took one step down, right? He took one step down and he went. That one step, when we think of him being I guess I think of us being a child of God is that's the most pure position that we can be in whatever God calls us when we give our life to Him. Jonah is just a good illustration I wanted to bring out of that. And before we go further, I just want to talk a little bit about the different authorities. So we have maybe in our home, but there's different levels of authority, different places of authority. You know, we have the civil authority. We might have, you know, the family unit. We might have the church, things like that. You know, there's certain things that I have authority in my hometown. And that isn't very much because I'm not in any position, but I have the authority to walk out what I can. I can be nice to my neighbor. I can help someone. I have been given things that I can do, but I'm not the mayor of Burdenhand or anything like that. I don't have that authority. We don't have a mayor there, but my point is there is different positions of authority, but in my hometown, in the civil authority, it's pretty limited what I have, but I can walk totally free in what I've been given. In the family unit, when at home, I have authority that I am called to in my house, in my property, but I have no authority what my next door neighbor does. You follow me? I have authority, but I don't have any control of what my next door neighbor does. So that'd be more, you know, family, things like that. Then we have things in the church. We have certain things. I'm sure many of you have responsibilities here, and they might all look a little different. I'm an elder at Grace and Truth Church, Lancaster City, but I have responsibilities there that I can walk in freely. But when I come to River of Life, I don't take a pulpit unless somebody was asked me to do that. Like, do you follow what I mean? There is very limited, even that, right now, maybe I can stand here, but I have no authority to give direction of what the church is doing next week. Do you follow what I mean? Maybe I'm hitting this a little hard, authority, and I'm not. I just want us to look about what is authority like. Some of you have a certain task, possibly, in the church. Some of you may work. I think someone's on the mission field. They have that authority they've been given, and they can work freely in whatever that is. Maybe at a job site or your job, there's a specific area or rule at work that you can have total free reign and given authority of. Youth meetings. You guys did a tremendous job in the youth meetings, by the way. Someone gave you authority and you just went. I could see that. I wasn't there, but I know it happened. So do you follow what I mean? There's been total reign. Like, you were able to operate in that. So this is just how it works, and this is how it works best. When we've been given authority, we've been given it from a higher authority, and then we can work and operate. Maybe it's at work. I spent some time with Monroe talking about work, logistics, total authority in that, but not in the operation of the business, the overall operation. There's a total different things. But in that, you can have, there can be a freedom when we operate in that. So that's just a picture. I want to move on then, even from some of this, but I just wanted to establish that a little bit, talking about Jonah, talking about authority. And again, the message I want to talk to you about this morning is spiritual authority, okay? This is just some of the groundwork we're looking at. But I want us to think about this. This is really important. From my understanding, authority is always given from another higher authority. Would you agree with that? Somebody else in authority gives another person. And this is why we even walk together as churches. We look to Phil. We look to Aaron. We're part of Grace and Truth, so obviously we're kind of our churches are together, but we look to each other because we don't walk alone. That's a benefit of walking under authority, and we can be free when we walk with each other. And so, but authority is always given from another person, from my understanding. Here, God gave Jonah authority. But I want to talk a little bit about the authority that we have been given in Christ this morning. If you want to turn to your Bibles now to Ephesians 2, I'm just going to read some of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and maybe expound on this a little bit as we go through it. But Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, and it says, "And you," I'm talking to you as believers, okay? If you're born again, this is for you. If you're not born again, it's all through the work of the cross. It's all in Christ. It's all in what he did. I'm so encouraged with what you're doing, going through John. Personally, I've been preaching through John, and it felt like over the time of COVID, there was just like, there was just all this confusion, and it was so, maybe it was as much for me as just a start in Gospel of John, chapter 1, you talk about the Word of God, the Word became flesh, dwelt among men, and it was just, that's what I needed, and that's kind of where it started. So when you're going through the study of John, it's an incredible, the book of John is just, it's so full of life, and it's so, I think the way that he writes it is, you're kind of there a little more than maybe some, but it's all God's Word. I don't want to take, but I just love the Gospel of John. It's so life-giving. But this is for you if you're a believer. "And you, he made alive." And you, he made alive. You may say that to yourself, "Me, he made alive." Now, this was done by a person in authority. And he made you alive. "Who were once dead in trespasses and sin." Isn't this the gospel? Isn't this incredible what Christ did on the cross, the work on the cross? "He made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together." You see the word "up"? He raised us up. "And made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, this is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone could boast or should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is what God has prepared for us. This is what we have the authority to walk out, because You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then so as we were reading in Jonah, this is what is so depressing. He went down, 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 even down onto the floor. And it's no wonder that he wanted to die. He totally stepped out of his place of authority, the place where he could. You know, I think Pastor Dave has been talking a lot about being in a place of rest sometimes. And so where else can we have be in a better place than just to be abiding in Christ, being with him, and everything comes from that? No wonder Jonah wanted to die as he stepped down from the position that he had. And then the thing that's so interesting with Jonah is after he steps down, 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 where do they throw him? Down into the sea. And it's like it's just this downward spiral when we step away from what God has placed us into. So then looking at the book of Ephesians, this is, you guys just did a study in Ephesians not long ago, a year or two ago. I remember talking about it, right? I just feel it's amazing when we go through Ephesians is the first half of the book is, it tells us who we are in Christ, and it tells us about the riches of him and just the immeasurable great. I mean, just, he's like this massive bank vault that God has given us. And this is what Ephesians is explaining, and it's so life-giving. The second half tells us how to walk it out, is kind of what I get out of Ephesians some. So, and he gives us, he tells us that we've been given tools to do all this. But you, he made alive. I want you to think about that. He made us alive. So thinking about this, when Christ set us into position, it says he raised us up. Think about up. We raised us up, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches. I did read that. But just that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. So I want us to think about a little bit about this. We've been talking about the position that God had put Jonah in. We talked now about the position that you, he made alive. This is a position that we have been put into. We've been made alive, and then we've been seated with him. It says that we are seated with him. In verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. 6, it says, raised us up together and made us to sit together. So, thinking about this, made us to sit together with Christ. Isn't this a beautiful thing? First of all, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We can read in chapter 1 about where Christ is positioned, but the thought now that we are positioned with him. And I'm telling you, church, this is a position of authority that he's given you to fight against anything that comes your way. This is where we fight our battles. We fight them from the position of Christ. This isn't something we're trying to get to Christ. We are now seated with Christ, and that's where we fight from that position. It's totally different than maybe some of you growing up in more of a religious setting. You're somehow trying to get to him, And what is the next step? And somehow, and it's all selfish because all we're trying to do is to get there or for our own self. But when Christ saved you and he seated you in heavenly places, and from that position he's given us authority. Totally different when we think about this. I want to tell you a story about one of our sons, and I won't tell you which one right now, but just to think about being set in a position. And when we're set in a position, it's settled in a sense. I want you to get this in Ephesians. When he made us alive together with him in Christ, we have been put down and we've been set down in this position, and we don't need to argue, right? We don't need to wrestle because that's where we're put. One time, when we were still in the Amish church years ago, one of our sons, I'll say, was showing my wife a hard time. He was pretty little. And I guess it's that way around here, too. The men sit in one side and women sit in the other side in the Amish. Well, anyway, he's showing her a hard time and, you know, rooching around. And she's just felt like she's kind of hard on him a lot. So she thought maybe she needs to have a little more grace and just, okay, maybe he needs a little more grace. And finally, in the middle of all this, he's not behaving and he looks up at Becky and says this in Dutch, "Wann sollst du mich satte machen? Wann sollst du mich," you know, like this. And what he basically was saying is, "When are you going to sit me down?" This is what he said. So anyway, this isn't really funny, but it is kind of funny. Is he should have known better all along. But being set down, he knew when he was set down, he was going to be set down with authority. And he knew that that was something right about that. He knew that was settled. If mom says, "No, this is where you sit," and he knew that that would feel good to him. Anyway, I just thought of this in this. But you have been set in heavenly places with Christ. It's done. It's like a little child just knowing that, no, that my higher authority has put me in this place, and because of that, I will respect this. But greater than that, it's more than just respecting it. You're there. You're with Christ. This is how we fight our battles now. We have been set there because the Word of God says. It's not because I'm telling you, it's because of what's in the Word of God. When you're going through the Gospel of John, we're getting to know who God is. We're getting to know the Word of God. It's not just getting to know the Word of God so that we can be smart or wise or anything like that. We want to get to know the Word of God because we want to know who that is. We want to get to know the writer, the author. We want to get to know the Creator. This is what we long for. This is everything in this world as you see it. This is what we're longing for. Many of people don't realize what we need, but we need that relationship with Jesus Christ. And he did this through the work on the cross, and he said, "It's finished." And he sits us down in heavenly places, and this is where we work from. As a believer, as the body of Christ, as an individual person in a relationship with our Lord, this is how we fight our battles. So what happens if the Word of God says we've been made to sit with him? Is that true today? Is what God is saying true? If it's really true, don't we handle everything that we do differently when we start realizing that this is the authority that we've been given? If we drive to Ohio for a weekend, and this didn't happen to me, but I'm saying if we get pulled over for speeding, and one of the brothers was sharing at church along this, and it really made me think about this some, but if we, let's say I would get pulled over, and the officer walks up, would it help me anything to ask him how long he was on the job? First day on the job, 30 years on the job. He has the same authority to write me a ticket. Amen? How did this happen? He's been given authority. If one of you gets born again today or just got born again, you have the same spiritual authority. Now, maybe your responsibilities change, But you've been given authority from the place with Christ. You've been given that authority. So if an officer walks up, I say, well, how long have you been on the job? He says, well, this is my first day. It doesn't make a difference in the court of law. He can write me a ticket. If a person is just born again and fights in prayer and from that position, he has the same authority. So do we believe that a newborn believer can cast out demons or, you know, pray and things are changed and healing? Yeah, if God puts that on his heart and he prays through that, he has the same authority than someone that's been walking with the Lord for 30 years. Now, I believe there's different graces. I believe there's different ways that things are exercised and maybe different gifts and all of that. Do you know when we get authority in Christ is the moment that we are born again and not 1 minute before? Isn't that amazing? An officer would not have any authority the day before he gets sworn in. And the thing about this is it's instantaneously happens when we get born again. This is how it, again, I was talking about being in a position or trying to get to God is so backwards from what the Word of God says. That's where we start. When we get born again, that's where we start. It's in that position. And that's where we fight. That's where we walk from. Jonah had the authority to walk in Nineveh the first time and call them to repentance, but he stepped down. I guess I'm asking this morning is, what have you stepped down when, if God has given you something and you say, what have you stepped down from? I want to tell you, the way of the cross is still the way back to that position. It's all through Christ. So if you feel like you have taken a step back, is repent. Call on the one that saved you in the first place. Call on the one that had given you that position in the first place. And it's all through the cross. It all happened. Christ coming, living this sinless life, perfect man in every way. And I think so often of when I think of Christ coming and giving his life, in some sense, I usually think that Christ actually died in the garden already when he just cried out to the Father saying, take this cup from me. And he cried out to him because the sins of the world were being placed upon him. The cup was just all the sins of all of our sins were placed on his shoulders. And this is a perfect man took his, on his perfect being, he took our sinless, sinful nature upon him and went to the cross. And he died and it was finished. And when we recognize the fact that it was then, it's through the work of the cross that we are positioned in Christ to start with. And it's if we have stepped down out of the authority he's been given us or we've been struggling, it's all through the cross again because he took all of our penalty and it's done. It is finished. We are all one with the Father because of the blood. I just want to show you here a little bit of an illustration here. And so when we think about this is, if we think about where Jonah was, and I'm not much of an artist. I sell artwork, but I'm not much of an artist, so I'm going to do that. This is his position. What's he do? He takes one step down, and he goes to Joppa. He takes another step down, and he goes to the down into the ship. He takes another step down, and he goes to the bottom. And what happens? He laid down. right? So here he is. He is here. There's not enough of steps here, but he's here. He takes a step down. He takes another step down. Before, he's down, and soon he's laying down. And when we think of that total difference of what we're talking about as who we are in Christ, but most times it starts with one step, all right? So I'm asking this morning, what is the first step that you've taken down from just where you feel rich in Christ? Is it confusion? Okay, maybe it's confusion about what something's going on, or maybe it's discouraged. Maybe it's fear. Until you're down on the bottom, it's hopelessness. You know, even to the point where Jonah says, just take my life from me. But we don't need to curl up and die. There's so much more to life than that. I remember the last Sunday. I don't often talk about Amish, but you have a lot of. How many of you were Amish? There's quite a bit. You have Amish background. We were on quite a journey on. In our spiritual walk for quite some time, and just crying out to the Lord, we felt God is calling us. We didn't know how to move forward, but I just know that the last Sunday we were part of the Amish church was supposed to be on a message of salvation. They have their things they go through, and this was just before communion, and it was about the new birth, the scriptures they were going through, and I just remember the message was trying to explain the new birth, and he admitted he couldn't explain the new birth, and he just said that somehow you have to try to do what you can, and you have to have this knockdown feeling, and like this isn't life. That's basically what we were told, is like he didn't know how to explain it, but he just said you have to have this ninakshla feel, like you gotta just. Now I want to tell you something. If you are here in Christ, this is not a position of pride. This is a position of humility when you think about the fact that Christ saved us. You know, maybe that is a knockdown feeling, but I think it's confusion of what they're trying to say, that you somehow are going to reach Christ. This is the position of Christ when we think about what he did on the work of the cross. This isn't pride. This will humble you. From this position, being seated with Christ should humble us with the fact that look at what he did. It says that being seated with him, and it talks about being made alive of us that were dead in our trespasses and sins. When you think about what he did, and he puts us in this position, this is where we fight our battles. This is where we go from here. So often we want to take a step back, or we think we're not qualified. Look what it can lead to. It's in Christ, church. Everything that we do is in Christ. Just this week, there was a customer this past week. She's a believer, and she was telling me she said, I'm moving my business, and kind of telling me about it, how the rent was going to go up and it was just too much. And so she ended up, on Facebook Marketplace, she saw this store that was for sale, and she called the person and went to talk to them. It was a private deal. And so as she's talking to the person, she said, well, you know, I really need to pray about this. He wanted like $119,000 or something for this building. And she said, I really need to pray about it. And she said, it went on for some time. And she's not sure that she really needs to make a decision, because this is 3 weeks now and she still don't have an answer. But she went to bed and she just cried out to God saying, I really need to know. Like, I need to give an answer here. And that night, she had a dream. And in the dream, a voice said, offer him $62,000. And she's just like, this is crazy. Why would I do that? That's not even close. She's battling with this. Why would he take that offer? So again, in her own natural ability, this doesn't make any sense. And finally, she wrestles through it enough. And you know, what do I have to lose? She's in this position of Christ. She hears God speaking to her. What do I have to lose? So she offers him $62,000, and he took it. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, what happens when we walk with God? When we walk in that position, and maybe that was a gift she had. I said, do you have a lot of dreams? She said, actually, I do. But I mean, that was just a gift that God had given her. She was a very humble person and just telling me this story. God will blow you away when we walk with him. When we walk with him in that position, it's not a prideful place. It's a place that God has given. And according to the word of God, this position, this is where we want to stay, right? Isn't this where we want to work from? Isn't this where we want to walk from? Because it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in our trespasses and sins. This position comes, there was a cost. It came with the blood on the cross, and now we can have that through faith. Isn't this amazing? It's through faith. It's not something that evolves with time. I think I explained that. It isn't a ladder. It's instantaneous. It is like this when you're saved. But it then, what is an ongoing work is obviously sanctification and walking it out. Our walk in this position is limitless when we walk with what Christ has for us. If we just walk in, this is, I guess, the normal Christian life, you could say. I know that often we always just, but this is what the normal Christian walk should be like. So I just want to, in closing, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we just want to talk through and pray through some of this yet. Let's think about this for just a little bit. Let's think about standing fast in the position of authority that Christ has put each one of you in. Jonah stepped down, but we don't need to. Amen? Jonah stepped down. Life was hard. He was still a prophet. Things still ended up changing, but he was miserable. We don't need to be a miserable Christian. We can be one that works from the position of authority in Christ. We can say me. We have been made alive together in Christ. Is this good news? Isn't this where we want to walk from? We have been made alive together in Christ, it says, but God, rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We get there by faith. Yes, we repent. But this is what I see. When we see the glory of God, when we think of it, doesn't that bring us into repentance as well? When we see what Christ has done, I guess I'll just move on. Made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is good news, church. Just like the police officer, we have authority today. That authority was given to you by your master, by your Savior, by our Lord, by the Creator, the one that made the heavens and the earth. That's the highest authority that I know of. Amen? That is the highest authority that I can think of God Himself, that has given us this authority. We're talking about spiritual authority this morning, church. And we can pray from that position for our children. We can pray from that position for our family. We can pray from that position for those on the mission field. We can pray from that position for our leaders. We can pray, our leaders can pray from that position for the rest of the church. Like, this is where life is and stays, from that position. Husbands, we can pray for our wives. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave. This is in Ephesians 2. That passage is, from that position, we have authority. We can pray for them. We can put on the whole armor of God. From that position, we have this authority. You know, if you feel like you have stepped down, it is at the cross. And if you want to, we're just going to pray in closing. You can just close your eyes, and wherever you are, that's fine, but I'm just asking you to consider that it is. That position is still there, and it's through the work of the cross. Father, I thank you for your love. We thank you that you have given us and taken us out of the bondage of sin and darkness and placed us into a position of authority in you. Father, we don't take pride in that, but we're thankful for that. We thank you that you have placed us in the highest place that we could possibly walk. And you have changed us, and you're changing us. Father, use this church here. Use each person here. And Father, call us back to that place of authority, that place of position in Christ, knowing that we are seated with you in these heavenly places in Christ. Father, do a work through this church with River of Life. Father, that they can walk in the fullness, in the freedom of Christ, and what you have set on their plate, you could say, what they're called to do. Father, I pray from that position of authority this morning in Christ that you would do great and wonderful things through this church, through each individual here. Lord, you are good, you are right, you're perfect, you're altogether beautiful, and we thank you for what you've done on the cross. We thank you what you're doing through the blood of the cross, from where you have placed us, from darkness into light. God, we thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.